Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Happy May 1st. We continue with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital, with all things COVID and more. Dr. Most, happy first day of May to you.
Dean, thank you. May 1st, a very important day in my life. My parents were married on May 1st.
Oh. So
although my father has passed, it's their anniversary. So kind of a special day for everybody in the Most family.
Oh, that's very nice. A nice feeling. I look at May 1st as, like totally springtime. And we certainly did have April showers yesterday, that's for sure. So I'm looking forward to lots of May flowers now.
Yeah, how about just some May warm weather? 52 degrees is a little bit crazy right now.
Yeah, you know what? You don't have to shovel 52 degrees, though. That's how I keep looking at it.
Yeah, it keeps me off the golf course so you and I can get to talk.
Oh, is that right? I mean, you won't go if it's 52 degrees?
No, I'll still go if it's 52.
I know. You've been out there in the winter. I remember you being out there in winter weather. So as far as COVID, some, I guess, concerning news this week that corona cases and hospitalizations are going up again. First widespread increase since the Omicron surge in January. How concerned should we be of all of this?
Yeah, Dean, I think we should all be, our awareness should definitely still be elevated. I think we fall down to this sense of complacency sometimes, and sometimes this is a good reminder. Now, we're nowhere near the numbers that we were in the past, but certainly when you see a county like DuPage County, which has a high vaccination rate, come out of the low transmission to the medium transition, that's certainly got our attention. And we see our hospitalizations creeping up a little bit, more incidental findings than actually COVID findings, but certainly is definitely keeping it on our radar screens.
I went to a wedding last night, and this is the first time that I've had anything like this. I mean, normally, places you show your vax card. This one wanted to see a COVID test result that was taken that day. So you did, I did a test yesterday. I did a swabbing and tested negative and had to take a picture of the test. And before you could come into the wedding yesterday, they required you seeing your vax card and also the result of the test that you took that day.
Good for them. I mean, a couple things there. One, it probably made people feel a little bit more comfortable being without masks, and certainly in weddings, it's difficult to wear a mask and talk to people. But probably more important, that couple did not want to be known as a super spreader event.
Right.
They didn't want someone to say, oh, yeah, I got COVID from the wedding I went to. So certainly, great to put those safeguards in place. It made everybody, I'm sure, at the event feel much more comfortable.
Yeah, a few people were grumbling about it, as would be the case. I felt great. I thought, a lot of people commented, this was the first mass gathering that I've been to in 2 years. Been in one place with this many people in 2 years. But I pointed out, we've all been tested today. And anybody that's in this room had a negative COVID test today. So it's this probably, might be the safest room in the whole city right now.
Yes, it certainly was, I can assure you.
Yeah, and, with weddings and such, you have all of your relatives there. Some of the older relatives are there. And you especially want to make it safe for people who may have, pre-existing conditions, et cetera. So I don't think that's a terrible idea. I mean, people complain about the mask, they complain about testing, they complain about having to show their vax cards. All that does is make everything safe. All it does is say that there's safety all around you, so that doesn't bother me. But with this increase, though, it sounds like you're saying we don't need to be quite as concerned. You don't think we're headed to a similar kind of situation as we did when everything had to be reshut down again when Omicron came in?
Yeah, I certainly hope not. Now, we always talk about what's going on in the rest of the world, and that's certainly one of our focuses right now. Omicron came in, following Delta, and then all of a sudden now we're, you know, we were overrun with what we call BA2, which was, you know, a subset of Omicron. Well, I hate to tell people, but there's a BA4 and BA5 now that are wreaking a little bit of havoc in South Africa, which is extremely concerning to us, mainly because South Africa had such a widespread infection rate that now they're seeing these individuals getting infected again with this new strain.
And fortunately, the result of that, symptoms are milder, hopefully because people have been vaccinated and boosted. What's the status now of children? Is it, do I understand this correctly, that kids under 5 are still the only ones who are not eligible for any kind of coronavirus vaccination?
Correct. And this week was a big week in that step because Moderna asked for an EUA for their vaccine results on 6 months to 5 years old. Now, that certainly needs to be fully vetted. If you remember, about 2 months ago, we were talking about Pfizer ready to come out with their two-shot regime, and their data wasn't good. So they pushed it off until they get their three-shot data in. So, you know, big week last week for kids. It'll be really interesting to see how that's accepted from a compliance point of view and from a parent's view, especially in light of the CDC announcing last week, too, that 75% of kids had already had this infection at least once.
Yeah. Have you been following what's going on in China right now? I hear, you know, stories of, you know, mass closures and major outbreaks and things like that. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when we talk about China because they are so protective, and what we're finding out and what we're hearing might just be the tip of the iceberg, but certainly making sure that individuals don't even leave their home to a point where they're locked into their homes, where they, you know, have shut down entire cities. We don't know the scope of the outbreak there, but the little part we hear certainly is very, very serious.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll get to phone calls. COVID, or if you have other medical questions, Dr. Kevin Most is the man to answer your questions. 312-981-7200 to call in. 312-981-7200 to text. 950, Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital, here to answer health questions, COVID and otherwise. 312-981-7200. Carol, you're going to be up first this morning with Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. Yesterday I had my fourth shot, and I had Pfizer before, and now I had Moderna. My arm is sore, but that's okay. And then last night I had the chills. And
yep. All the expected.
I had the chills to the point where I was shaking, you know. But now this morning I'm just like all achy all over. So is that just part of my body reacting?
100%, Carolyn, and good that you did what you did with the Pfizer and Moderna. I'm a big follower of, or a big proponent, actually, of having both vaccines. Certainly, the side effects that you're talking about are the exact side effects that we expect to see from individuals, where that arm will be sore initially, and then you could get some chills. And what you had is Rigor's, where your body thinks it's freezing when actually you probably had a fever. But certainly, you're going to feel a little punky probably for today. But really, these symptoms are showing that your body is working, that it's the immune response is happening, and these symptoms will only last 24 to 48 hours.
Now, from last week, we had so many people calling saying, I got a Pfizer vax, I got a Moderna booster, I'm about to go get my second booster, which one should I do? Does it matter?
No, I think once you've had one of each, at least, then you're free to go whichever way. You know, your body is going to understand and remember that they've been exposed to two different. It's kind of like you got exposed to COVID, and then you got exposed to Omicron. You got exposed to two different strains. So that's exactly what we look at with the vaccines, is that there's two different areas on the spike protein that they're looking at. So it's just going to give you some additional coverage.
John, you're next with Dr. Kevin Most on WGN.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Listen, my question is kind of simple, but there is the rapid test that you can get at home or at Walgreens or whatever, and then there's the 3-day result test. And is there a test to show that you've ever had COVID before? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So what you're talking about with the rapid test and the other test, the PCR test, we're looking to see if you have active infection. Is the virus in there? Is it replicating? Is it making you cause to have your symptoms? Certainly now we do have a blood test, however, that will look to see if your body has antibodies. If you saw the CDC that came out, report that came out last week saying 60% of adults and 75% of kids had been infected, that was all based on a blood test. They looked at the blood of individuals and were looking for these antibody levels. And if you remember Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks, early on they got COVID, and then they tested negative for COVID after a while. Their antibody levels had dropped. But certainly we have a blood test that can say if you had had the infection in the past, and those blood tests are only getting better and better.
And so is that a doctor order to do that, or do you – how do you get that test?
Yeah, that's a doctor's order to do it. And a lot of us are saying, do you really want to know that? Is it really important for you to know that you have had an infection in the past? Some people want to know. Others are like, well, it's more of an interest to me. But certainly it would be a discussion with your doctor. What's the value of the test? What's the cost of the test? And what do you want to get out of it?
John,
thank you very much.
Thank you for call. Let's go to Allie, 312-981-7200. You're on with Dr. Kevin Most.
I love your show, Dean, and thank you for taking my call. Dr. Most, I'm calling a question about my sister. She's been given some kind of conflicting advice, and she's not sure how scared she needs to be. She's 52. She is considered, I think, obese because of the BMI. She has mild hypertension and type 2 diabetic. But she's had 3 full doses of Moderna and then the 4th shot, you know, the booster dose of Moderna. Does she have any protection or does she need to stay home all the time? What do you think?
Yeah, Ellie, she certainly has protection. Now, that being said, I'm going to put a caveat on that. You know, what she has received as far as her vaccination is what we would expect someone to receive who is considered not at risk at all. Now, her obesity, hypertension, and type 2 diabetes certainly put her at higher risk. But she doesn't need to stay home. She certainly has some coverage, probably not as good a coverage as a young, healthy individual, but certainly has coverage and should not be, you know, just staying at home. Certainly, she should be careful who she's around, wear a mask when appropriate because she's protecting herself, especially anybody with heart disease and type 2 diabetes. But certainly, her getting outside is probably going to be good for her hypertension and her diabetes. So certainly I would not have her just staying at home.
And let me ask, if she did lose weight, that would probably help her hypertension, some of the other issues. But it also brings down any kind of COVID risk as well, right? Being proactive and trying to lose some weight right now.
100%. You know, when we hear type 2 diabetes, obesity, and hypertension, boy, activity and outside and trying to lose some of that weight can eliminate all of those. And like you said, also increase her ability to fight infection, whether it be COVID or influenza.
Laura, Allie, thank you very much for the call. And doctor, thank you, as always, for your time on Sunday morning. I hope you have a great day today. Thank you, my friend.
Take care, Dean. We'll talk soon.